First and Second Kings, First Kings chapters 1 and 2 records one of the leadership succession stories in the Bible. So I'm going to talk about enthronement of Solomon onto the throne of David. The leadership was transferred from David to Solomon. Successions in leadership do not simply mean a few high-ranking individuals' promotions even to higher positions. We have seen euphoria Americans experienced just a few weeks ago, and we know that there are still ongoing tremors coming from the presidential election in America. In fact, the whole world is nervously watching how the future will be unfolded in the coming years, politically, economically, and militarily, under the new leadership of America. That much leadership matters. In only year 2007, Lee Hsien Loong, Prime Minister of Singapore, surprised his countrymen and women by talking about searching for his potential successor. He felt that his being a leader of the country at the age of 52 was just too late. Thus, he desires to hand over his leadership position to someone who is younger than he was, and he said he had a 15 years plan for his leadership succession to the next man. When secular companies and corporations change their leaders, they often find the new leadership influencing on markets for their companies, both positively and negatively. Apple company was hit very hard many years ago when there were rumors about its CEO, Steve Jobs' ill health. When Jack Welch became CEO of General Electric, he wanted to make the company the world's most competitive enterprise. His leadership revolutionized the business world. I'm not saying that I do endorse his leadership type or style. I do not endorse the ways he had run the company. I simply mention of his name to show the importance of leadership and proper leadership succession and transition. It was possible that he had left the country a few decades ago while he was working as a junior engineer. He wanted to leave the company. However, there was a man who recognized his value and persuaded him to stay in the company continually. His name was Reuben Guthoff, without whom Jack Welch could not be the man, the chairman of GE, General Electric. We cannot emphasize too much on the importance of good leadership and the right leadership succession. The welfare of any nation, any country, or organization depends on the quality of the leadership. We have seen it from Syria, Iraq, and Libya in recent times, politically speaking. Then how about the leadership in the Christian churches? Christian churches have grown up or died out over the centuries and the decades. Leadership has been one of the major factors that have played behind the scenes for the betterment or worse condition of Christian churches. Behind the sinful nations, there were always sinful, in a way, leaders. Just to think about the history of Israel in the Old Testament. At the same time, I cannot but think that people have received what they have deserved. Evil people wanted to have kings, and they chose their kings, or they had kings, and they were evil ones. Only by the grace of God, they were able to return to God through the righteous leadership. Today, we're going to look into the succession of the kingship in Israel from David to Solomon, from which, hopefully, we will be able to learn some lessons to prepare ourselves for the succession of our church leadership in the coming years, in the future. In the coming years, the current session hopes to restructure the leadership of the church so that she will be ready for the future challenges. Let me begin with the necessity of proper leadership succession. Any organization or community requires leadership successions. Think about the priesthood in Israel. There were many priests in succession. It is because priests were human beings and they had to live and they had to die. Therefore, their services could not bring atonement to perfection. Because they lived and they died, as a result, their services had to be ceased and they had to wait for another priest. However, Christ has made everything perfect by one offering, and he lives forever. His priesthood is forever without needing to have a successor because he was able to make a perfect atonement for our sins. Why did Israel need a leadership succession plan, though they had such a capable king like David? Well, here are the reasons. Number one, David was a great king, but he was only a man. David, who was a poet of Israel, who was also a king, was an excellent man of God and wise and dedicated king to Israel. He had such admirable and excellent qualities that all of us must envy. He walked with the Lord closely, and he had very strong passion for God and his presence in his life. He wanted to do the right thing, not only for himself, but also for his country. However, no matter how great man David was, he was only a man. He was a mortal man. He was destined to get old and eventually to die. The nation of Israel had to face the reality of his mortality, and she must look for his successor. The necessity of leadership succession urges us not to depend on man, but on God. Man is only vanity, and even his glory is vanity. So that's why church must not depend on her own pastor forever. He is only a man. He comes and he goes. It is foolish to look unto man for permanent security and stability. If I'm here ministering to you, it may give you a benefit at the present moment, but my duty must be to prepare you for your future. And that succession plan must be continued. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. The first part of verse 1 says this. Now King David was old and stricken in years. That is true. There was a time he could make lots of differences for the nation. And he was able to do a lot of things. But now he was not able even to keep his mortal body warm and healthy. It gives us ample reasons to look unto God for leadership and for the future of God's community and the community of the people of God, including our church. It gives us really ample reasons to look unto God alone. The necessity of leadership succession constantly helps us to look into the future, not to dwell in the past. One of the mistakes I think Christian churches have made over the years is that they dwelt on the glory in the past and glory at the present moment without preparing themselves for the future. And that is the reality we are experiencing today. Leadership succession is to ensure the coming generations to continually receive the benefits from exactly the same ministries. New leaders must be raised to ensure that the Lord's work will be continued in the future. Even though David had to die, the country had to keep going. It helps the leaders not to be lost in present glory, but to evaluate the present and to prepare for the future. The necessity of leadership succession gives us a recognition of the value and worth of the Lord's work and his people, his kingdom. The Christian ministry should not die with its human instruments. Again, we may have great and wonderful, remarkable leaders in this church, but we have to remember that they are all coming and going. They are living and they are dying, and they will disappear behind the history. No one will remember them. The leaders' foremost important insight for the value of their ministries is that the Lord's work must be continued even after they are gone into glory. Man serves God and his callings, not the other way around. The necessity of leadership demonstrates that God is in the center of everything. He has to be the focus, not man. Man is not eternal, but only temporal. The transient nature of humans only elevates the view of God and his work while understanding their own infirmities and smallness. Thus, leaders should not take glory from their services, but to bring glory only unto God alone. It also implies that the glory and honor of God is the number one priority in our considerations when we choose our leaders for our church and our community. It means that we need to see the whole matters from God's perspectives and as we deal with the Lord's ministry. It also means that we should not respect man's appearances, seemingly good qualifications, his willingness to take over the leadership roles, or charms of man alone. Everything must be viewed from God's own perspectives. There has to be his pure desire, good qualities, good reputations from the outsiders, and approval of the spiritual leaders of the church. Here, I must be cautious to talk about good qualities of being a leader. Over the years, I have seen many seemingly good and sincere people. To some of them, I sincerely and honestly and very frankly told them that they had great potentials to be used by the Lord to be leaders in their local church ministries. However, even though I was able to find a great deal of potentials within them, not all of them turned out to be good leaders. Even many of them failed to be fully blossomed with their potentials. Or sometimes their potentials were used adversely against the glory of God. I have even said to some of you in Hope Church, the last few years or so, said exactly the same thing about your potentials. And I told you that you have great potentials, and if you desire to serve the Lord in the right way, you can be wonderful servants of God. Well, however, having potentials to be great leaders and wonderful servants for the Lord and actually becoming real leaders are totally two different matters. There are people with great deal of potentials, but who will not be used for goodness of the Lord's ministry at all. I know that many of them will not be fully blossomed in the Lord's ministry for various reasons. Dreaming to be a leader, or desiring to be a leader, or being passionate to be a leader will not make such individuals as leaders. It means that we must discern if there is anyone really called by God. In other words, the calling from God is the most important quality we need to care about. When we choose our leaders, we need to carefully observe individually from God's point of view. We do not choose someone to be a leader because that person volunteers. I am available. I am willing to do it. I am passionate for it. But still, we do not use such a person to be a leader until that person is proven. And also that person has a calling from God. Secondly, there are possibilities of improper leadership succession. Of course, our experiences tell us of such a danger in believer's society or community or even secular world. It is also true that the text we are studying this morning testifies of such a case. And because this is a very long chapter with so many different aspects we could study about, I'm just choosing one part about the leadership succession from the chapter. All the faults are coming from a simple but grievous error that man misjudges himself and wrongly makes self-assertion and self-promotion for the leadership roles and positions. Here is a man, Adonijah. He wanted to be a leader. He was a passionate man. Under the nose of such an able king like David, he wanted to be a king. He voluntarily assumes the leadership roles. No one has asked him, but he wanted to be a leader, which has not been given to him, a position, leadership role. From the story in 1 Kings chapter 1, we may find at least five such errors of man, especially from him. Number one, man easily forgets what God has instructed him. The Lord clearly told many individuals, if not the whole nation, that Solomon was going to be David's successor. I guess Adonijah just intentionally and purposefully forgot about it. Number two, man seeks his own ways. When the first king Saul was appointed and installed, a prophet of God played a very important and significant role by anointing the man.
And Samuel also anointed David to be the second king. And now we are talking about the third king of Israel. Now people have forgotten all of such memories and sought for their own wisdom for their third king, man's own ways. Third, man is capable of doing what God has not told him to do. That is an amazing thing. God never told Adonijah, you are going to be the third king of Israel, but he wanted to be a king, and he volunteered for the position. And so he made himself, he exalted himself to be a king. But we know that it is a sign of rebellion and disobedience. No one invited Adonijah to be a king of Israel, but he self-invited himself to be a king. I am a king, follow me. Listen to me. Can't you see how wise man I am? I know that you have needs. I can meet your needs. Come unto me. I'm sure that he had a passion to be a king. But his strong desire for the throne must have consumed him. And it made him a deadly, sinful, wicked man, a rebellious man. Number four, man can deceive himself that he can manipulate the situation by recruiting people to his side and declare his leadership by simple numbers. So, what did Adonijah did? You know, what did he do? He was able to convince many powerful men from David's camp, David's government for his causes. The most powerful military general in David's kingdom, Joab, took his side with Adonijah. He also had many followers. He felt and acted like their king, and people liked him. And Adonijah liked that attention, besides that he wanted that leadership role. Number five, man is able to justify his wrongs by turning his attention to many other issues. For example, circumstances seem to be favorable to him because Solomon was still young, and after all, Solomon was only junior to Adonijah in the family line. Adonijah also thought that his father David was incapable of leading the country anymore, and people needed a new leader. Hey, look at my father. He was a great man. He has been a great king so far, but he's so old he cannot even manage himself, his own life, and so on. Therefore, countrymen, don't you think we need a new king, and I can help you? She's a good man, but she's not able to meet your needs. But I am the one who is able to meet the needs. And I am willing to sacrifice for you. Follow me. You know, what an attraction he could get to draw from the people. He wanted to become a king. He made himself available. I am available. I will give my time. I will give my desire. I will give my passion and efforts and etc. And come unto me. Well, he availed himself to the people. I'm going to deal with such matters more in detail as we are going to look into the text more carefully in detail. Third, proper leadership succession always must be done by considering the will of God. Where is God's focus? What is the will of God? If we need to know of a way of God to raise his servants to the leadership position, there has to be a clear understanding that his ways are different from our ways. We are hoping to see some lessons and insights about the blessing and complications of the leadership successions. One of the outstanding lessons we must learn is that leadership succession is important for the survival of the country or the community of God's people or Christian churches. And there are many factors that may contribute toward the succession plans. And also, leadership succession could divide the people. Because of Adonijah's passion, Israel was divided. So one group of people was invited. Come unto me, Adonijah said. I am going to invite you. I'm going to have a party to celebrate my promotion to the throne. And so rejoice with me. And she invited a certain group of people by excluding the other camp. Potentially not so friendly people to him. She divided the country. So when leadership matter comes in, it is quite easy that people are divided. I also know that quite a number of churches were divided when they had to invite a pastor, you know, for them. It's because there are different candidates and different individuals like different pastors, and they were kind of vying for that particular man and etc. So even though their desire is good, they wanted to have a pastor, a good one, and as a result, the churches were divided. How sad that is. Leadership succession could divide the people. Churches often suffer divisions over the selection of their leaders. Hence, let us learn one lesson here. God's ways are different from man's ways. We should be able to learn this particular lesson in a real practical way. Adonijah must be a good man in terms of people's skill, persuasive speech, personal conviction of his desire, will, plan, and ambition. I think Adonijah was a wonderfully attractive man. He was probably very sure that he should be the one sitting on the throne. Leadership is vacant at the moment. Even though there is a king, he's not able to do his work. And I have everything to offer to my people, and they will be happy, and they will be better, and the country will be probably well advanced under my leadership. However, no amount of his conviction, no amount of his desires made him a king. That is the difference between God's will and man's will. He was only a rebel with all such good qualities. Having followers does not mean that he could become their king. Especially what Adonijah was playing was here a kind of church politics. He was inviting this man and this man, this man. So he was making his camp bigger and bigger. It's a church politics. So bringing to them, you know, how much I love you, you know, how much I respect you. You are a wonderful man, you are a wonderful woman, and I can offer you this and that. And so as a result, numbers are increased. And so political gain. How sad that is. He had such good qualities, but in fact, all of his qualities were used only to rebel against God. There are people in Christian church who are making their followers by setting themselves in some sort of leadership places not appointed by their church. They are in danger of hurting the body of believers. That's why in the leadership selection process, the session does reserve its power to nominate individuals at its own discretion. And the board of elders does have the power to nominate the fellow elders as well. So that even though there are nominations from the local bodies, all those names are proceeded toward to the session, and session reviews them and use and exercise proper discernment based on individual's character and the way that they believe in God and do the ministry in Christian churches. And session nominates them finally to the congregation. Therefore, we should never despise those elected leaders in our church. We need to respect them, and we need to honor them, and we need to pray for them. Not only the session, but also the various committee members in different fellowship groups. That orderliness should not be disturbed or troubled by any means. Secondly, proper leadership succession, not by the will of men. There is a consequence when a man raises himself to the leadership without proper successions. Adonijah broke his family line against his father, stepmother Bathsheba, and stepbrother Solomon. He divided the country. He didn't mind it. He didn't mind dividing the country in order to become a king of the country. He could have, you know, had a lot of excuses. Because a country needs a king, you know, country needs a leadership, country needs a better governance, country needs the presence of a ruler, not like a secluded king because of old age in his own room and so on. He may have a lot of reasons to present. He didn't mind divide the nation. What a terrible thing. It is always sinful to bring disharmony, disunity, and division into the body of believers. Without, regardless of excuses and whatever pretenses they may present, it is sin. And Adonijah brought rebellion, disharmony, and disunity, and evil spirit to the leaders in the King David's government. So first of all, man's apparent external qualities do not guarantee his leadership role in the work of God or within the community of God's people. This is a huge difference between man's perspectives and God's perspectives. Because man cannot see the heart of man, others, but God sees. And man sees only external qualities. Wow, that person is smart. That person is intelligent. That person is so affectionate. That person is so capable. That person has such a passion. That person has capabilities and abilities. And on and on and on. But such apparent external qualities do not bring a man to the leadership position, leadership role in Christian churches. If that is the case, if really external qualities determine the individuals to be the leaders, then we may bring exams. You know, you like that idea. So if you pass and you go by the scores, so highest markers will become the pastor. Of course, you know, I can get the highest mark. And the second, you know, one will be the elder, and the third one will be the deacon or something like that. And all the committee, in order to be committee members, they have to have all the passing grades, etc. Average this number, etc. No. Man can be ambitious and have dreams to be a leader. Such ambition and big dreams do not make him a leader for the kingdom of God. Think about Adonijah in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 5. Verse 5. Would you like to read it? Okay, let's read it together, shall we? Then Adonijah. Amen. I'm sure that he knew the risk of doing it. But he was passionate for it. He was determined to do it. And besides that, you know, we may not just give him all kinds of bad things. I'm sure that there were some justifiable reasons that caused him to be desiring for this particular position. I'm sure. Adonijah had a goal. That is the first thing that we must be aware of. If someone feels that he or she is well prepared and ready to go, that person is waiting to fall. If that person feels that he is standing, there is a danger actually in rear situation, he's about to fall. Adonijah had such a high view of himself. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. I'm better than Solomon. I'm better than my father David. I'm better than other sons of my fathers, etc. He exalted himself. He had a very high view of himself. By the way, I'm thinking to preach about the grace of God in the light of the presence of sin on the first Sunday in February. And some of the things I'm thinking about is particularly in this part. We have two high views of ourselves. Adonijah had such a view, so he exalted himself to be a king. I can help you. You know, I can offer you this. So, from the recipient's point of view, without discerning what's going on, oh, thank you. Oh, you are wonderful. You are so gracious. You are so able. Oh, you are really helping me out. Thus, he exalted himself to be a king. And his eyes were on the throne, not in the second to the throne. Being a prince in the kingdom did not satisfy him. I'm sure he knew that he was not supposed to be a king. That's why he exalted himself. Because he knew that Solomon was going to be a king of the country, and that was a covenant made by God himself. So he knew it, but despite that, even though he knew that he was not to be elevated to that position, he wanted it. I want the leadership role. King. Throne. He was an able and clever planner as well. He was able to prepare his chariots and horsemen with 50 men escorting him before him so that people could see, wow, Adonijah, he must be really a king. So he was in pomp and all the human recognitions and so on. All these things happened under the very nose of King David. That shows the level of his arrogance and pride. King David cared for Adonijah. Verse 6 in chapter 1 says, "And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, 'Why hast thou done so?' And he also was a very goodly man, and his mother bare him after Absalom." He must have a very close relationship with his father. His father loved him so much, he cared for him so much, so he never displeased his son Adonijah. Oh, there is also a danger. You know, sometimes in Christian churches, even when I look at younger men to be groomed and to grow, they always want to have compliments from me. Well, in our church ministry, if we are constantly complimented and pleased, then obviously we will never have an opportunity to be corrected and to learn. Adonijah had not been scolded by his father at all, and he was a handsome man. It is no wonder that his mother was also Absalom's mother. We know that Absalom in the scripture is very well known for his beauty. He's a very handsome man. And his sister Tamar was known in the scriptures as a very pretty and beautiful woman. And Adonijah shared the same mother. So I'm sure that he had such a good appearance. It seems that he had all the good external qualities to be a king. He looks like a king. He talks like a king. He acts like a king. He invites people like a king. External qualities seem to be incompatible with anybody in the kingdom. But all of those good, seemingly excellent external qualities did not make him a king, did not give him a right to be a king. It could be possible that he genuinely desired to serve the nation out of concern and care for the people. And probably it is very possible that people saw such quality and liked him very much, but he was not supposed to be a king. Secondly, favorable external conditions and circumstances do not always validate ambitions of men. So external qualities do not make such a man to be king, naturally, or leader. Or even external conditions and circumstances do not always validate ambitions of men. Verse 1 again says, "Now King David was old and stricken in years." King David was old and advanced in age. It indicates that he was not able to lead the country by active participation in national affairs anymore. He could not even manage himself alone. The nation and people needed and waited for a new leader. I'm sure that there was an anxiety. Who is going to be the next king? We need a king. We wish to have a king in front of us so that we could go to him, talk to him, complain to him, and we'll ask him for judgments and so on. Even Adonijah's attempt to become a king must have found some favorable endorsements from the people in general. That's why he began to find a lot of followers from the kingdom. It seems that his claim for the throne appeared to find its legitimacy within the social and political settings and environments of that particular day. We do not find any resistance from the general public either. Oh, yes. We think you should be a king, we think. Thus, Adonijah must have felt that there was a door of opportunity and he was capable of leading his country. Third, there is no indication that Adonijah was a vagabond, an evil man per se. You know, when I say that he was not supposed to be a king, but he exalted himself to be a king, so he was actually a rebel at the end, then we may think that he must be such a wicked guy and vagabond and evil man and so on. Well, if we see him from the fact that he was trying to take the throne by his cunning tricks, we may think that he was a despicable and very unattractive man. But to the contrary, he was a very good and attractive man with all good qualifications for that top job, humanly speaking. Without his father, without his father David's backing and endorsement, David never said Adonijah is going to be a king. So there was no endorsement from his father. He was able to recruit so many of a mighty and influential men from King David's cabinet. And military power was right there available for Adonijah through General Joab. Number one general of the kingdom, Joab gave him an endorsement. He gave him an approval. Yeah, I think you should be the king. As I have followed your father all these years, I'm going to follow you. Don't worry, militarily speaking, I will be your friend. Well, he was able to get an endorsement from Abiathar, the priest. So religious sector comes. You know, I'm the one who gives the sacrifices day in and day out. And you know I'm a serious man. I am a fearer of God. I'm a worshiper of God. I am giving you an endorsement. You are needed for this country at this point of time. His approval rating was pretty high amongst the people, except within the rear inner circle of David's loyal subjects. So except this inner circle people, public in general, general public gave their support to Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 9 says, "And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Joheleth, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants." The king's sons, so fellow brothers, endorsed him to be a king, and many people followed him. There is no mention of Solomon. I do not know what Solomon was doing in those days, but his name is not mentioned. His activity is not mentioned. Maybe he was such a negligible person in the country, or intentionally people ignored him, you know, as if he was not going to be the king, just he was shrugged off by the general public. Because people's heart was already given to Adonijah. Chapter 1, verse 25 says, "For he is gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah." We often think that if a man shows his desire to be a leader and good qualities as a leader, and even support from the people in general, he must be the right one to be a king. Or a man who should not be a leader is a man of no attraction and no charm. However, Adonijah was not a fit into either of those categories. The determining factor was the will of God. God's thought was different from man's thoughts. Adonijah's act was only an act of rebellion, both to God and his father David. Fourth, failing to prepare for proper succession plans brings unnecessary trials and sufferings. A lesson we must learn is that a leadership succession is a divine mandate, and if we do not prepare for it, we will suffer with the consequences. We find a trouble in David's kingdom and his family because of David's negligence of handing his power over to his successor earlier. If he had already declared to the country that officially I declare that Solomon is going to be my successor, then such a problem did not have to happen in the country. But because of his negligence of doing it, unnecessary trials came upon the country. Unfortunately, the same mistakes are repeated even today in many places, including Christian churches. There are many reasons why smooth successions of such leadership have not been practiced in the churches of God, obviously. And we need to know those reasons, and we need to avoid those pitfalls by having proper succession plans. The following are a few examples. Some people say, God is going to do everything in His own time. Therefore, if we make our own plans, that's just man's plan, a man's idea. Therefore, we should not do it. Well, it sounds like the words of wisdom or faith, but in reality, we must know that it is only a negligence of duty of care. From generation to generation, there has to be a succession of leaders. One goes, one comes. One comes, one goes. Another people, different people will say, younger generation leaders are not ready. Well, it sounds reasonable excuse to delay the succession plan, but it is an attitude of either arrogance or ignorance. There is no perfect generation, and we were young and inexperienced when we also were appointed to be leaders and given responsibilities in the Lord's ministry. Do you know what I am afraid of the most? I'm scared of listening to my messages in the past. And sometimes I just stumbled over my written out manuscript messages from many years ago, and I read them, and I am so ashamed. Did I really say that? Did I really preach that? I must admit that there were some errors too. I don't remember them all, and I cannot recall them all, but I'm so ashamed. Well, we were all gone through that stage of time, and now we are standing where we are. And the leadership succession, some people say, removes the more experienced leaders from their services and ministries. It depends on the perspectives and attitudes of the church congregations and individuals. If the older generation is willing to serve humbly, they will not be hindrances for the progress of the present and future ministries. Instead, they will be assets. The pastoral epistles talk about the roles of the old women, old men, and old women in Christian churches. That's a part of pastoral ministry. They must be willing to serve the Lord with their wisdom and godly examples as the Bible instructs them. In the meanwhile, the younger generation can serve actively. So I believe that older folks must give their places to the younger folks so that younger folks can serve the Lord. Why can't we serve the Lord faithfully in our old age? Simply because we are not deacons, we are not elders, we are not pastors. We are not serving the Lord because we are deacons. We are not serving the Lord because we are pastors or elders. Because we are the believers of Jesus Christ. Regardless of our office titles, we are to serve the Lord. As I look at Cornerlite Gardens congregation, you know, this congregation is extremely old, and someone said its average age was about 80 years old. Do you know that that old age congregation with just a few number of people, probably their number was probably the same as a number of our senior citizens in our midst. Do you know that they have been managing that huge property alone? On Friday afternoon, after I received the key, I opened the gate and I walked into the sanctuary. And there was a kind of overwhelming feeling of rejoicing and happiness, you know. And so I sat down in the pew and I prayed and I gave thanks to the Lord. And I came out and walked around the place. Then I realized that I began to have a feeling of being crushed under the burdens. Who is going to remove the fallen leaves from the parking lot? Who is going to dust up all those matters, those places? Even we did have a hard time to manage the stone mansion. Now we have two separate buildings, huge buildings, and there are so many offices, and we have a rectory, how many rooms we have. And who is going to do that? And I was thinking about Cornerlite Gardens congregation, old, small in number, but those old folks had taken care of such a large property over the years.
I'm not sure whether I'm pressurizing our senior citizens at the moment. That's not what I'm intending to say. But what I'm saying is that in every possible way, we are able to serve the Lord. If we are serving the Lord because of titles, I think something is not right. We serve the Lord because we love Him. And another group of people say, young leaders are prone to make mistakes and not so reliable. They are not perfect, you know, they are not really good enough. Well, however, in reality, no one will learn without this learning process. They should be given time and opportunities to grow. And different people say, we have lots of time to groom young ones to take over, but it is not true. To the contrary, we do not have enough time to groom new leaders. Before they can be considered to be leaders, they need time to learn and to make mistakes. They need some time to make mistakes. It takes a very long time. I want you to know that the previous session did not recommend our new members of this new session, you know, because they were perfect. But rather, we felt that they are good matures and they are willing to serve the Lord, and we saw their inner character, and they will be given opportunities to make mistakes and to grow while the older members of the session are working together with them. They do have an opportunity to make a mistake. And they have opportunities not to know about certain things. And when their time comes, they will be solid leaders of this church. And likewise, the following generation will continue to grow. And different people say making succession plans only shows the lack of our faith in God. It is not true. It is because rather God wants us to make disciples and to raise more laborers for the coming harvest. And some people say church leaders should be allowed to serve until they go to heaven as deacons, elders, and pastors, and many, many more reasons. Of course, all of us should be given opportunities to serve the Lord till die. And in fact, I'm waiting for my own retirement, in a way. And I told my wife that in the first month after my retirement, I'm going to join the cooking class for 1 month. And I will cook for her an Italian dish. And once in a while, I shared my thought with her that once after I retire and there is no more duties are given to me, then I'd like to be a custodian for my church. And I want to clean up the toilets, and I want to pick up the trashes. I want to look after the church premises as much as I can. I'm not a good handyman, so I may break by taking care of. But I want to do that. In order to serve the Lord, I do not have to be a minister. I must say that all of those reasons listed so far have certain degrees of validity in them. Having said that, we must not forget that leadership succession is not a matter of choice, but of necessity. Leadership succession has to be done whether we like it or not. No one lives forever, and generation changes. Generation changes are a natural course of life. If there is any talk about leadership succession, it must be about quality, spirituality, maturity, nature, and the timing of succession as well. I do not know why David was hesitant, why he delayed to declare his succession plan to the whole nation, why he did not do it earlier. Maybe through his delaying kind of a habit, Adonijah's true color came out. David must have known his physical limitations and the soon to come reality of death. Because of his delay, he caused the troubles to his country and family. Maybe his thoughts were innocent, like he wanted to serve till he would die. Let us serve the Lord till we die, whether we are in the leadership position or not. The lastly, proper leadership succession is a mandate, and it is also a blessing to us. The smooth and gracious leadership succession is a sign of God's grace to the community of God's people and a reflection and testimony of the people of God for His grace. By seeing that there is a good leadership transfer from one person to another person or from one generation to the next, we praise God for His grace. And also by letting such transition happen, we demonstrate the grace we have within us, which is a good testimony. When we deny or refuse to take opportunities for leadership transitions and successions, we are putting hindrances to the future of our church. First, through proper leadership succession, we demonstrate our firm conviction and faith that the church belongs to God alone, and the master of the church is God Himself, not man. No one should take glory by insisting his or her dominance in church for indefinite length of time. You know, I have been in this church for X number of years. I have been a pastor of this church for X number of years. I have been the one who has given this and that to the churches. No. If we have done anything within our church in the ministry, we have done it for the glory of God alone. And all the credits must be given to Him alone. We should not be a hindrance. There was a time for David to stand aside from his throne. Everybody has their time. It was something that a wise king must do. David listened to Nathan and Bathsheba and knew that it was the sure time for him to declare his successor. All of us must know the time to stand down. David knew the will of God. 1 Kings chapter 1 verses 29 and 30 say this. And the king sware and said, "As the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day." God was in the center of David's covenant with Bathsheba concerning his successor. And also, proper leadership succession prevents man from being unlawfully ambitious and becoming sinful. If there were a clear proclamation of King David's succession plan earlier, Adonijah could be spared from conspiring a plot to declare himself as a king. He did not have to stir up the people to do something against the will of God. By being unclear about his succession plan, David made everything blurry in terms of the future of the kingdom. David gave an opportunity for Adonijah to exalt himself to be a king by being unclear concerning his succession declaration. Adonijah said to Bathsheba later on in 1 Kings 2:15, would you like to read that one to know who Adonijah was? Let's read it, 2:15. And he said, "Thou knowest..." Amen. He said to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, "Bathsheba, you know the kingdom was mine." That was his idea. He really exalted himself. He was not invited by King David, and he was not invited by the Lord to be a king. He invited himself. Proper leadership succession plan must be done by finding the choice of God. God's choice, God's choice. And I think I shared this story with you some time ago. But let me repeat it for the sake of illustrating the point. I was an unknown man in the Bible school. And I joined the Bob Jones Memorial Bible Institute in Seoul, Korea. And I was not known to anybody. I was just, one humble student in the Bible college. And there was a young man at my age his name, I forgot his first name, but his last name is Shin. So Mr. Shin was there, and he was a very faithful man. And he was an excellent man of qualities. And I could see that he had a great deal of potentials. And we became good friends, and oftentimes we talked about different things of the Lord and so on. And one day he said, brother, once after I graduate from this school, I'm going to go to the States to study at Bob Jones University because I was given a scholarship for 4 years. And so I praised the Lord with him, and we were very happy for him. And in those days, obviously, I did not have even such a dream because I did not understand English. And English was such an enemy. And it was such a challenge. And so I spent about 3 semesters with him in school. And he was ready to go. And he had just one more semester to go. And that was my fourth semester. And amazingly, during the 3 semesters of studies under American missionary, gradually I was able to hear some of the words he spoke, word by word, then words coming together, and I began to hear barely phrase by phrase, and still I couldn't understand the language well. And my fourth semester and his last semester before he was supposed to go to Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina, he didn't show up. He did not appear to school for his work because he was interpreting for an American missionary. And so missionaries were very anxious because they needed someone to interpret for them, and they were waiting and waiting for about 3 days. And the only news they got was that he was killed by that carbon dioxide gas while he was sleeping in winter time. You know, he was using a coal outside, but somehow the smoke seeped into the room, so he was killed while he was sleeping with his brother. So both he and his brother were killed. And as a result, missionaries needed someone to interpret for them, and they didn't know where to go. But somehow, one staff member at the Bible school, recommended me to them, so they wanted to interview me through an interpreter, another short-term helper. And they asked me whether I wanted to be an interpreter. So that question was raised to me through an interpreter. And so from that time and onwards, the story went on. And eventually, I took Mr. Shin's place. And his scholarship was given to me. And as a result, I was able to study at Bob Jones University. And even I became your pastor in Adelaide. It was not my decision. It was not my plan. It was not my choice. But amazingly, God worked behind the scenes. And through that event, eventually I went out to different countries as a missionary. And I have been serving the Lord. It was God who chose me to be in the ministry in such a manner. Over the death of Mr. Shin. Leadership succession plan must be done by finding the choice of God. That's why we are not appointing anybody casually, simply by looking at someone, you have potentials, you will be a leader. No. We are not going to do that. They need to prove themselves first, and they need to learn proper lessons in a series of proper lessons. David knew who should be a king after him. 1 Chronicles 22 verses 8 to 10 say this. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. God said to David, Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon.
And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. It was God who chose Solomon over Adonijah. God. We also choose our leaders by knowing the will of God. If David had direct revelation from God, either to himself directly or through prophets indirectly, we have the direct revelation of God in the Bible, and we need to exercise our spiritual discernment by knowing the scriptures and to depend on the Spirit of God who moves our hearts and steps to choose right people for the church leadership. Out of a few passages mentioning of the leadership qualifications, I would like to quote 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Would you like to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2? Let's read it. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Amen. First of all, leaders must be well-taught ones by faithful ministers of God's Word. It is extremely important for our young people to grow continually in this church. And over the years, they need to prove their character and their belief and sincerity. And I'm not sure whether you still remember this, but I came here in February 1999, and for the first 5 years, only lessons I gave and I preached were of doctrines. For the first 5 years, only messages I gave were doctrinal messages, from the doctrine of the Bible to the doctrine of eschatology. It is because it is important for the future leaders of my church need to understand what I believe and what the scripture talks about. Not pick and choose here and there by this man of it, and this is what I like. That's the reason I think this must be right. Pick and choose in the reading, etc. That's why eventually they become egocentric believers. And they are totally confused, but they do not know that they are confused. They must be taught. Timothy was well taught under the leadership, under the guidance of Paul. And I trust that some of our young people will be future leaders of this church as they continue to learn. Leaders must be well taught ones by the faithful ministers of God's word. Paul said to Timothy, "Thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. You have been taught by me." Timothy was Paul's student and learned from him. Timothy was a proven servant of God's word by proper learning under Paul's guidance. It is because theology could be very tricky, and it is very significant and important. Even one single change of a word can make a total different meaning to the doctrines. And also, we need to see their characters while they are learning. Timothy was a proven servant of God's word by proper learning under Paul's guidance. Therefore, future leaders must come from the ones who are being faithfully taught. He learned from Paul. It is important whose influence he had received. So it is true. Where you have been taught will really determine the kind or inclination of your beliefs and your attitude and your character and your faith, in fact. Because the contents of faith will be changed. The most cautious believers in my mind are the believers who have been self-taught. It is because of pick-and-choose method. Whatever they like must be true. Whatever they do not like must be untrue. That's why they have formed their faith according to their own measurement. As a result, they have not been taught properly without proper balance. And he learnt the word of God. It is important to know the contents of his learning. Such matters have to be examined before leaders are appointed. So all the leaders must be Bible lovers and Bible readers. And some people begin with the theology books, Well, theology books are all men's works. Of course, they are valuable, important, but they cannot be a replacement of the Bible. Leaders should be faithful also, based on 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. We need to know that what is said here is not of faith, but of faithfulness. Of course, the faith is a matter of foundations, without which there is no Christian religion, Christian church, or church leadership. Faithfulness is an attitude, and it is a character trait. Character matters. We do not choose leaders because someone is extremely smart. No, no, no. If someone is extremely smart without having proven character, we will never use such a person because there is a danger. Character. When the Holy Spirit is working within us, we are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's character. Character matters. Faithfulness is an attitude. In fact, it is one of the fruits of the Spirit of God in Galatians chapter 5. If leaders are smart, it is a bonus. It's a bonus, but it is not an absolute necessity for them to be smart. Our pastors in the future, our elders and our deacons do not have to be super smart, super intelligent. If they are super intelligent people, you know, that's really extra bonus, but it's not a qualification. It is not a condition at all. I rather want them to be good people, good character, loving, affectionate, obedient people to the Word of God. What is required of them is faithfulness. Their character must be Christ-like and proven to be Christ-like by fellow believers. Lastly, we must respect the leaders God has appointed. Sunday school children must honor their teachers because they are appointed by God for them at this time of their life stage. Various fellowship groups, including YAF, AFG, ladies fellowship, must listen to their leaders and committees. Breaking, revolting, disturbing the leadership produces only divisions and disunity within the church of God. We must pray for them, honor them, respect them, and love them. Also, we need to pray for the future leaders of our church. I'm sure that in the coming months this year, you are going to see some of the restructuring work planned and prayed over by the current session, and you will need to pray for our session so that we can make preparations for the future of our church ministry. Adonijah was seditious and attempted to usurp the throne. He exalted himself. He did the same thing that Absalom did by preparing for himself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Absalom did it at the beginning of his rebellion in 2 Samuel chapter 15, 1. Both the seditions, Adonijah's and Absalom's, were related to the succession of the national leadership. Absalom wanted to be a king after David. In fact, not after David. While David was still alive, he wanted to be a king. So he rebelled against his own father. And Adonijah, he also wanted to be a king. They thought it was a power. There was a power. Well, proper leadership succession is not an option, but a necessity. That's why there are different considerations we must take into account when we choose our leaders. When we have wrong leadership, we will suffer. Proper leadership succession will ensure the continuing ministry in our midst and also prevent any strong character from domineering the church ministry. I'm not sure how you evaluate the ministry I have been doing in Hope Church. But one thing that I have been very conscious is that I have always wanted to not to become a domineering person in your faith, in your Christian conviction, as if I'm a dictator. You must do this, you must do that, or follow me because I said so. I'm not sure whether you have seen me as such a domineering person, but there was something that I have been trying to avoid. By all means, I want you to preach the central truth of the scriptures, give you biblical principles, but based on that, it is you who must decide what to do with it. And by having proper leadership, we can keep any strong character from domineering the church ministry and church community. I don't think our elders have been domineering people, and the session has been domineering body in our church. Also, we should seek the will of God to raise future leaders amongst us. They are the fruits of our prayers. They are the answers to our prayers. As David had to disappear to the hind side of history, so all our leaders will have to stand down. I will have to stand down someday. May the Lord bless our church and spiritual life by granting us faithful and spiritual leaders continually. And if you have desire to serve the Lord, prepare yourselves faithfully by learning from the scriptures and being conformed to the image of Christ in your character. And I'm sure that the Lord will be graciously using you for His honor and glory. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we are very thankful that you have given us an opportunity to think about the leadership succession. Dear Lord, raise your godly men and spiritual men, godly women and spiritual women from amongst us so that they will continue to take up the torch of the gospel message, Lord, even after our preceding generation lives into eternity. Lord, bless our current leaders and bless our session members. Help all of them to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.